1, 2, 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 1 equals 5. No, that's not right, but the mic seems to be okay. Hello and welcome to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episode 117. I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig.
How are you, Craig?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. In this week's episode, the economy and discussing trends. But first, let's welcome you all back, and a special welcome to new listeners. If you don't know about us, Craig and I are English teachers who've been teaching for over 40 years, and our aim is to help you improve your English and take it up to the next level. So, we are going to speak in this episode about economy and trends, but just to remind you that in a previous episode, in fact, we spoke about money and the economy, so that's related to what we're going to talk about now. That's episode 46. So, if you go to inglespodcast.com/46, you should find more useful vocabulary related to today's talk. Craig, have we got any listener feedback?
No, we haven't. It's been quiet because it's the summer. People are on holiday. Maybe you're having a break from your English at the moment. So we don't have any voice messages or emails to read or play for you. But do remember, please, that we batch these podcasts, which means Reza comes to the flat, we record 2 or 3 podcasts, and then we release them over the following 3 or 4 weeks. So it's possible you sent us feedback and you're waiting to hear it. So please don't expect immediate feedback on the next episode, just to let you know that there may be a delay of 2 or 3 weeks, especially over the summer, before we read or play your feedback. So keep sending them in, and I promise every email, every voice message will eventually be in a podcast.
Yes, as Craig said, there is always a slight fall in activity over the summer. Isn't there, Craig?
Ooh,
I've already got there.
Have we started?
We've kind of started. There's always a slight fall. A slight fall. A fall. A fall. Or a slight fall.
Una caída.
Una caída. And slight, una ligera, pequeña caída. We're talking about trends. We're talking about trends. I tell you what, shall we start with verbs and their equivalent nouns?
Good idea. Before we do that, though, just remember that many of these words can be verbs or nouns. So Reza's first example, to fall, is a verb. And you can have a fall in temperature, a fall in feedback, a fall in value. So the noun and the verb sometimes are the same.
There's always a fall or a decline. Or a drop, or a decrease, or a dip in the intensity of listener feedback over the summer. It's normal. It's the summer. People have other things to do and they go on holiday and that type of thing. So the words decline, drop, fall, decrease, and dip can be nouns, which all mean more or less the same thing. They can also be verbs. So you can say, to decline, to drop, to fall, to decrease, to dip.
But do they mean like in the same way or the same strength? Is there any difference between a fall and a drop or a decrease in strength, in numbers?
I wouldn't say so, but I would say dip is a bit different. The word dip implies that it's a small, a slight decrease, and perhaps it won't last very long. Mm-hmm. So very often we use the word dip when it's temporary. So last month there was a slight dip in the number of podcast listeners, but then it went up again this month, for example.
So you can have a dip in sales, for example.
You expect it to go up again. So it's nothing major. It's not a huge problem, a dip. So perhaps that is a slightly different meaning to the others.
What about to go down? When something goes down, for example, temperatures go down, the value of the euro against the dollar goes down. What does go down? How does that fit into those words you've mentioned?
Well, I would say that it pretty much means the same as decline, drop, fall, decrease. But there is no noun. You cannot say ah plus go down. Like you can say to decline, a decline, or to fall, a fall. But with to go down, there is no associated noun.
So you cannot say there's been a go down.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't exist. So not every verb can be converted directly into a noun for these phrases that we're going to use today. Some can, some can't. Craig, there's another one which is, again, a slightly different meaning.
To slide?
Yes. How would you describe to slide?
Well, when I think of to slide or a slide, I think of deslizar in Spanish.
Right.
So, for example, you would slide down if there's ice or something is slippery, deslice, then you slide down it. So I suppose you could use a slide in numbers. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it would be, as you say, un deslizo, kind of slowly, steadily going down. Not suddenly. A slide tends to be gradually, doesn't it?
So there's been a gradual slide, a gradual decline in attendance numbers,
yeah,
for example. Are there any more extreme verbs or nouns that we could use to speak about downward trends, things going down?
Yes, there's one which probably most of our listeners haven't heard before, but it's quite common amongst native speakers, to plummet.
Plummet. That's yep. P-L-U-M-M-E-T. To yep. plummet. That's quite strong, isn't it? That's quite sudden.
Yep.
Quite extreme.
Yes. To plummet is extreme and big decrease. Yeah. Quite easy to remember. Caer como un plomo. Plummet.
Hmm.
And I'm not making that up. It does come from
plomo.
The Latin word for lead, to fall like lead, plomo, caer como un plomo, is to plummet.
And there's no noun, so it's only to plummet, the verb.
Yes.
So, for example, sales have plummeted. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means they've fallen a lot and quickly. Okay. It wouldn't be the same as slide. Slide would mean gradually and slowly.
Can you think of something that's plummeted since Brexit?
Yes, the probably the number of Europeans wanting to emigrate and go to the UK, I imagine, has plummeted.
And the value of the euro or the pound against the dollar
yeah.
has also, it plummeted the day after
yeah.
the announcement that the UK was leaving Europe.
Yeah. Craig, how would you say in one word, in a verb, that something had reduced specifically by about 50%.
Well, 50% is a half. So the verb to halve, H-A-L-V-E. So you could say sales have halved since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Is there a noun for the verb to halve?
Yes, it's maybe not that common, but it exists, a halving. So mm-hmm. you could say there has been a halving in sales. Yeah, that's strange. H-A-L-V-I-N-G, halving. Not having, not like I'm having a party, but halving with an L in the middle. Silent L, as Craig said earlier.
But the verb is more common, right? It's yeah. it's to halve sales or to halve costs, etc.
You said the verb plummet, Craig. Can you think of another extreme one beginning with the letter P?
Well, there's plunge, P-L-U-N-G-E, to plunge. That reminds me of somebody jumping into a really, really cold swimming pool or pool of water because yeah. there are plunge pools. When you go to a sauna and you get really, really hot because of the steam, you go after to a very, very cold pool of water called a plunge pool and you jump in. So the idea of plunging, when something plunges, it just goes down very, very quickly.
Like someone diving into water.
Yeah. So, for example, there's been a plunge in the number of people learning Chinese, for example. It's gone down drastically.
Mm-hmm. Similar to plunge in its origins is the word nosedive. If you plunge into water, you might dive in and your nose might go in first. into the water. So to nosedive is similar to plunge. It's to go down very quickly.
Is that from the aeroplanes? Because aeroplanes have a nose and they nosedive, don't they, when they go down quickly?
Ah, right. That's probably where it comes from, is it? The nose of the plane going down quick. Okay.
So that's a noun also. A nosedive and to nosedive.
I can think of one more, which is pretty common as an extreme verb or noun, and that is to tumble or a tumble. For example, not long ago, the price of oil tumbled. Mm-hmm. It fell a lot.
You also have a tumble dryer to dry your clothes, because to tumble means to go round and round and round, also to tumble over continuously. But in this sense, to tumble means to drop extremely, to go down.
So all of those so far have been verbs or nouns about going down. What about going up, Craig?
Well, there's to rise. Prices rise. Obviously, the sun rises. It goes up. The cost of living rises. Now, that verb is intransitive, isn't it? There's no object. You can't say rise the price. You have to say raise the price.
Different pronunciation.
Different word.
And different spelling. Can you spell the two words?
Rise, intransitive, with no object, R-I-S-E, the sun rises, good book by Ernest Hemingway. Yeah. And raise, the transitive, which does have an object, is R-A-I-S-E. For example, you can raise someone's salary. You can physically raise a chair or raise your hand to ask a question. So R-A-I-S-E is the transitive one with the object, and R-I-S-E is the intransitive one with no object. Both mean to go up. And just to emphasize the pronunciation, R-I-S-E, the vowel sound is I, like my or sky, I, to rise. And the second one, the transitive, is A, raise, the same as my name, Craig, or day, A. So rise and raise.
There is a common use of the word raise as a noun, which is a pay raise. When your salary goes up, that's a pay raise. Not a pay rise, a pay raise.
Although some people do say pay rise.
Some people do say pay rise, but technically it's not right. But yeah, they do. Okay, what else have you got for us, Craig?
Well, there's to go up. So prices go up, or the figures go up, the numbers have gone up. So there's no noun with that. You cannot have a go up, but the verb is definitely very common, to go up. Have you seen the price of fireworks this year?
Yes, fireworks have really gone up this year.
Rockets are going up as well.
Just our joke.
Another verb which means up, to go up, is increase. And the noun is an increase. Be careful of the change in stress, because the verb to increase has the stress on the second syllable. Listen, increase. And the noun, same spelling, has the stress on the first syllable. An increase. So an increase in prices.
And what about the opposite for going down?
The same rule with the verb and the noun. So to decrease is the verb, and a decrease is the noun.
Okay, another verb which is common to talk about things going up is to improve. Prices have improved. They've gone up. Now, of course, you might not be happy that prices have gone up if you have to buy something. You might not consider that a good thing. So that's a strange use of the word improve, because improve can also mean to get better, of course. For example, by listening to Aprender Inglés con Red and Craig, believe me, your English will improve. It will get better. So there's another meaning of improve. But when you're talking about figures, statistics, trends, if you say something's improving, you mean it's going up.
Let's test our listeners and see if they know the noun of to improve. After three, one, two, three, an improvement. So there's been an improvement in your level of English.
The verb to grow, plants grow, lots of things grow, What's the noun of grow, Craig?
It's quite difficult. Growth. G-R-O-W-T-H. Growth. There's been a growth in the cells.
I find that that's a noun that most Spanish people don't remember. I don't know why, but it's very rare to hear a Spanish speaker without a very good level of English get that noun correct. They never get it.
It reminds me of those irregular ones. Yeah. They're always problematic, like height and height and width and wide and long and length. Those kind of words. So grow and growth.
So the business is going to grow, verb, or we're hoping there will be a growth in the business.
We've experienced fantastic growth in our podcast downloads.
It's true. It's true.
Do any other verbs come to mind describing an upward trend?
Yes, a couple more with a particular meaning. To recover, that means to go up. After a fall. So when you say that something has recovered, you automatically assume that previously they went down.
So you could say there's been a dip in sales, but they recovered last week.
Yeah. So first they went down, that's the dip, and then the recovery, they went up. Mm-hmm. Recovery is the noun. Put a Y at the end of the verb, and now you've got the noun, a recovery. Craig, what about a verb to mean to reach a maximum point?
You mean like the top of a mountain, for example?
Right.
Well, the top of a mountain is a peak, P-E-A-K. So to peak, the verb, means to reach the maximum point. So our sales have peaked this month.
Craig, what about some more extreme verbs? Like we had extreme verbs going down, like plummet and plunge, etc. What about extreme verbs for going up?
Well, something can shoot up. The verb to shoot, you may remember, is tirar or rodear. If you're making a film, you can shoot a film. But when it's a phrasal verb with up, to shoot up means to go up quickly. Imagine you're shooting a gun in the air and it's going up. So it goes up very, very, very quickly. So prices have shot up. Remember, shoot is irregular. So to shoot, shoot, shot, shot. Prices have shot up recently. There's another verb which is not very common in the UK, but it is very common in the US because the sport of hockey, especially ice hockey, is very common, especially in the northern states of America. So there's a verb to hockey stick, which is the stick, el palo, you use to play hockey. And if you think of the shape of a hockey stick, there's the very short bit at the bottom that you use to hit the puck with. And then there's the long, 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 long handle that goes up. So if you imagine a graph, un gráfico, and suddenly the angle of the stick goes up. So that verb to hockey stick means to shoot up, go up very, very, very quickly on a graph, for example.
Both to shoot up and to hockey stick aren't usually used as nouns. They're just verbs. If you say a hockey stick, we think you're talking about the sport, not trends.
Absolutely.
So it's just a verb to hockey stick. And another one which is similar in that way is to skyrocket. You don't say a skyrocket when you're talking about statistics. A skyrocket is a rocket which goes up to the sky. So for statistics, don't use the noun a skyrocket. Use the noun a skyrocketing, if you like. It's not common, but it exists. So, for example, we think that the number of listeners to our podcast is going to skyrocket in the future. It's going to go way, way, way up, almost out of the atmosphere. There's going to be a skyrocketing in the number of listeners.
That would happen, for example, if Reza and I are invited to be a guest on the BBC podcast for Learning English. And everybody in the world who listens to the BBC suddenly begins to listen to this podcast, our download numbers will hopefully skyrocket. They'll shoot up suddenly.
Now, Craig, earlier you mentioned the verb of a 50% decrease. That was to halve, a halving. So what's the opposite then? What's a 100% increase?
To double, D-O-U-B-L-E, double. The vowel sound is a, as in up. So a double. Prices have doubled this year.
And what if something increased by three?
Triple. T-R-I-P-L-E. Prices have tripled. They're both regular, so just add a D for the past tense and the third form, to double and to triple, which can also be used as nouns. So you can have a doubling of sales or prices and a tripling, ing.
Craig, since the podcast have begun, would you say there's been a tripling of the number of listeners, or not as many, or more?
Probably, yeah, over time, but it hasn't been, it hasn't skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a hockey stick growth. There's been a gradual, constant increase, which we're very pleased with, because I think sometimes when things shoot up suddenly, they might not necessarily stay at the top. They'll kind of, the trend will then be to dip after. But when you have steady growth, that's more encouraging. That means that there's a steady growth, and the chances are it will continue to increase over time.
So we are happy with our steady growth rather than the number of listeners rocketing.
Very happy.
There's one more verb and noun, which is, well, I'll say it and then we'll get Craig to say it, because we might not say the same thing. To soar. What would you say, Craig?
I would say the same. Soar.
Okay.
Is that the same? You say it.
Slightly different pronunciation. Craig's is closer to what you'll find in the dictionary. For example, we hope the number of listeners is going to soar. We hope there will be a soar in the number of listeners.
I would pronounce that the same as S-O-R-E. Like, I have a sore leg or a sore arm.
Yeah, me too.
And also the same as S-A-W.
Not me. Ah, not me. That's the difference.
How would you say that?
So we're talking about the verb or noun going up a lot, S-O-A-R, sore. And Craig said he pronounces it the same as the adjective, which we mentioned in a previous episode, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
S-O-R-E, sore. Me too. The problem is we don't say it exactly the same, but we do pronounce them the same, because the test is that Craig pronounces the word S-A-W also the same, but not me.
So how do you say S-A-W?
Saw.
Sore.
I didn't say that.
No, it's not the same, is it?
S-A-W? Saw.
There's a slight difference, but obviously you know.
It's the R.
It's S-A-W. The R, yeah.
There's no R, so I don't say an R. Saw. But S-O-A-R, S-O-R-E have an R. Sore.
But don't worry, listener, you'll know the difference from the context, because if I say yesterday I saw Reza, and Reza said yesterday I saw Craig, you understand that it's past of C.
Yeah.
So it's not a big problem.
Yeah. It's that thing, we've mentioned it before, final R sounds in standard British English pronunciation, final letter R is nearly always silent. But if you come from Ireland or America, it's not. You pronounce it.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
So S-O-A-R, to soar, and also the noun, a soar. I associate that also with birds, because you imagine an eagle or a vulture or a bird of prey, one of these huge birds that hunt.
Yes.
They soar in the sky. They're very, very, very high, and they're
flying
soaring.
High, proudly, up high, yeah?
Exactly.
So if something's soaring, it's doing well, isn't it?
So it's a very positive way of describing an upward high trend. Prices are soaring.
Moving on, Craig, to slightly more complicated things. What if something goes both up and down?
Well, there's a verb to fluctuate, F-L-U-C-T-U-A-T-E. The noun is fluctuation. I don't know if there's a similar word in Spanish. I suspect.
Fluctuación, I think. Does it exist?
It sounds familiar. Yeah. So if prices fluctuate, they go up and down.
Mm-hmm. A bit of both. So that would be a wiggly line. Wiggly, going up
wiggly.
And down.
A wiggly line is not straight, is
not
it?
Straight,
it's up and down with many changes. So there's been a fluctuation in the value of the euro against the dollar.
Then we got verbs and nouns to talk about things becoming stable. For example, to level off or to level out. means that the changes are stopping and it's becoming stable now. So maybe
nivel constante,
yeah. So maybe there has been fluctuation before. Maybe it has been going up and going down, but now it's leveling off or leveling out to something more stable. And it can be a noun. You can talk of a leveling off or a leveling out.
So there's been a leveling off of sales this month, for example. It's now flat. It's now steady. And you can also say to hold steady. If prices hold steady, there's very, very little change, almost no change, no fluctuation. Prices are holding steady, or the rate of the euro against the pound is now holding steady.
What about if I were to say to you, Craig, the word flatline, to flatline, what does that suggest to you?
That reminds me of hospitals, and when you see a monitor that's monitoring your heart or your breathing, and suddenly in films you hear a beep and the line doesn't move, the line is completely flat, the person's dead. So you look at a flat line, it's plano.
Yeah. In other words, the peaks have disappeared.
Exactly. There's no peaks, there's no up and down. So there's a flat lining. To flat lines is just a straight line, no movement.
I think you've got one more for us, Craig, haven't you?
There's another one, to even out, which is similar to flat line, but when you have peaks going up and down, you can have a more constant graph or more constant picture of what's happening when things even out. I'm not sure how you'd say that in Spanish, but it's más regular. It's more normal.
Mm-hmm. There's a funny play on words you get, play on words, un juego de palabras, if you convert that into a noun. You can, an evening out. For example, there's been an evening out of prices over the last few years. Not so much variety. But of course, an evening out could also be going out with your friends. It just happens to be the same.
Una salida con amigos.
Yeah, they happen to be the same words, but of course, entirely different meanings. But they both exist.
How have your sales been? Oh, we've had an evening out. Oh, you went out last night? No, sales are steady. No growth. I think that's it for up and down, stable trends. What about adjectives together with noun phrases, or maybe verbs with adverb phrases?
Yes, so a lot of the words that we've talked about are often put into collocations, and some other words that we haven't mentioned yet. So we often have typical adjective noun or verb and adverb collocations phrases. I tell you what, why doesn't Craig say the adjective noun phrase, and then we'll give you a few seconds to see if you can guess how that would convert to a verb adverb phrase, and I'll tell you the answer. Shall we do that?
Yeah, let's give an example. So these again are modifying adjectives, aren't they? So you've got a noun or a verb, and you're modifying the noun or verb with an adverb or an adjective. So if we speak about an increase, for example, we could have a significant increase. Que es mucho.
Yep. Or if you wanted to express it as a verb, then use the verb to increase, and then convert the adjective significant to an adverb, to increase significantly.
Let's repeat that. A significant increase.
To increase significantly.
Good.
Can we just repeat once more and notice the stress that Craig pointed out earlier?
There's been a significant increase.
To increase significantly.
So, okay, let's test you now. So I'll say the noun with the adjective and we'll leave a pause and you try and say the verb and the adverb before Reza. A slight drop.
To drop slightly.
A noticeable decline.
To decline noticeably.
A gradual recovery.
To recover gradually.
A steep rise.
To rise steeply.
A substantial growth.
To grow substantially.
A sharp decrease.
To decrease sharply.
A dramatic jump.
To jump dramatically.
A moderate recovery.
To recover moderately.
A steady improvement.
To improve steadily.
Very good. Well done.
Okay, I tell you what, just to make it sound a bit more authentic now, let's focus at typical complete sentences that you might hear talking about trends.
Remember, for all of these expressions, all these collocations, all these words and these examples we're going to give you, you can find them all written in the show notes on our webpage at inglespodcast.com/117.
Okay, so here's an example sentence, a sort of typical thing you might hear talking about statistics, trends, figures. There has been a steady rise in the number of unemployed people in recent years. I'd like you to focus on the prepositions. So we say a rise in something. What has risen? What has risen? The number of unemployed people. So a rise or a steady rise in the number of unemployed people in recent years.
You could also say there's been a steady rise in prices. Mm-hmm. Steady rise in immigrants.
And as we said earlier, there are plenty of synonyms for the word rise or for the word fall. We got fall, we got decline, we got decrease. For example, the figures show a sharp decline in the number of homeowners this year. Decline in, fall in, decrease in. Okay, so it's rise or fall or any of similar word in something. Not of, in. Here's another example. Listen to the prepositions here. Compared to last year's figures, this year has seen a significant increase of 40% so far. Now what? Now the word increase was followed by the preposition of, not in. Why?
Is that because of the percentage?
Yep. In other words, it's the number. Mm-hmm. An increase of 40%.
So whenever you use a percentage, it's always increase of or decrease of?
Not necessarily a percentage. Increase of a third, increase of 55, increase of. It doesn't have to be a percentage. The rule is, it's a rise or an increase or a fall or a decline in something. In other words, what is falling? What is declining? For example, rise in the number of employed people, decline in the number of homeowners. But I haven't said how many. I've just said what is changing. However, increase or decrease of 40%, of 500, of a lot. When you say quantities.
Right.
That's the rule for the prepositions.
That's clear. When there's a quantity, it's of. An increase of 500 signatures or an increase of a third or a half or 40%.
What about an example with the word drop, Craig?
Here's one. We can see a slight drop of 2% compared to last week, according to these statistics. A slight drop of 2%. Again, it's of because it's a number, percentage.
More examples. The figures show that the number of homeowners has declined sharply this year. Compare that to the sentence I said earlier. The figures show a sharp decline in the number of homeowners this year. I've converted it from adjective noun, a sharp decline, to the figures show that the number of homeowners has declined sharply. I've converted it to verb, adverb.
Here's another example. The chart shows how car sales have plummeted since the crisis by 67 5%. Remember, plummeted is to go down very, very, very quickly, very drastically. Car sales have plummeted since the crisis by 67%.
Earlier, we had increase of 40%. Increase of 40%, we said earlier. Now, 40% is the change, an increase of 40%. It has changed 40%. And now we're saying car sales have plummeted since the crisis by 67%. That's also a change. So why not use the word of? Well, it's because you put of with a noun and you put by with a verb. That's the rule. An increase, a significant increase of 40%.
So increase is the noun.
Right. And car sales have plummeted, that's a verb, since the crisis by 67%.
So here the preposition's not connected to crisis, which is a noun, it's connected to plummet, which is the verb.
Exactly. So to simplify, to talk about how much the change is, with a noun, use of, with a verb, use by.
The next example is with flatlined. If you remember, to flatline is to constantly be a line with no change. So, for example, the table shows that the amount has flatlined at 8 million tons.
Another preposition there, at. I told you, didn't I, right at the beginning to watch prepositions? I wasn't joking, was I?
Ooh, it's complicated.
I wasn't joking.
So we've had increase of 40%, drop of 2%, plummeted by 67%. Now we have has flatlined at, because I think at is el punto que es constante.
Exactly.
No? So it's flatline at 8 million tonnes. It hasn't moved above, it hasn't gone up, it hasn't gone down. It's stayed at this point.
Exactly. That's at. Let's have a few more typical examples to practice vocabulary. As the graph demonstrates, a graph is a diagram which shows lines going up and down, increases, decreases.
Graphica.
As the graph demonstrates, a dramatic price increase occurred last month, or if you prefer, a dramatic increase in price occurred last month. So you can say price increase, or you can say increase in price.
But notice it's being modified by the word dramatic. You could change that for sudden, or impressive, or enormous, or slight. So you're modifying the amount by using that adjective, a dramatic price increase. Try this one. In recent years, the percentage of homeless people in Spain has risen sharply. Has risen sharply.
Here's another one. There has been a slight improvement in our team's ball possession this season.
That's football, right?
For example, yeah. Could be football.
So we're not speaking about Valencia. There's been a slight improvement in our team's ball possession this season.
Of course, in football, they love trends and statistics. Well, in all sport, trends and statistics are extremely important in professional sport. What about this one? As you can see from the diagram, that's a very typical expression when you're going to talk about graphic information. As you can see from the diagram, the ratio of men to women is currently 2-1. That means there are twice as many men as women. The ratio, R-A-T-I-O, the ratio of men to women is 2-1. But when you speak quickly, 2-1.
2-1. 2-1. Sales rose by 10% from 32,000. To 32,320. This meant an increase of 320. So sales rose by 10%. Past simple of to rise, rose. Sales rose by 10%.
And then from to is the original point and the new point. the finishing point. So the original point was 32,000 and the finishing point is 32,320 from 2.
Desde hasta.
And as we said earlier, we say rose by because it's a verb and we're talking about the amount of change. Rose by 10%.
Of course, there are other verbs you could use in place of rose. You could have went up by 10%, increased by 10%.
What about that word we had earlier, Craig, which meant going up and down? Can you give us an example sentence with that?
Fluctuation. So the present fluctuation in prices makes future predictions difficult. So there's a fluctuation in prices. Prices are going up, they're going down, they're not stable, they are fluctuating.
Here's another example with very authentic language. The amount of plastic polluting the seas looks set to continue rising, according to the figures. Looks set to continue is a very typical expression. Looks set to continue rising or falling or fluctuating or whatever. Looks set to continue means using the figures to base your prediction. This is what you think is going to happen.
Parece que, no?
Yeah.
Looks set to continue.
Mm-hmm. Parece que, but in a slightly more formal English. One more, Craig. What about that word which meant 50%? What was that word?
Half?
Half.
Or half. The verb to halve.
To halve when it's a verb pronounced v, yeah? And when it's the noun pronounced f, no? Half.
Mm-hmm.
Half of all those interviewed said they had bought 2 or more handheld devices over the last 5 years. Over the last 5 years. That's a typical expression. Over the last 5 years. That means during that period of time.
And notice there's past perfect there with had. They had bought. And then the time reference, as Reza said, over the last 5 years.
And what's a handheld device?
Any dispositivo that you hold in your hand. For example, a mobile phone, a tablet, any mobile device.
Well, Craig, that's quite a few examples for our listeners to think about. As Craig said earlier, you can find them written in the show notes.
Also in the show notes, you'll find a sponsor link to our wonderful sponsors, iTalki. So we'd like to remind you that if you're a new listener, that if you're interested in improving your English with a one-to-one teacher, then you can go to iTalki's website and find a native English speaker to help you improve your English on a one-to-one basis over the internet. It's very convenient. You can study when you want to at your home. And it's very affordable because obviously there's no language school. You're dealing directly with the teacher and you get a very good price for one-to-one teaching. If you'd like to find more information of how you can improve your English with iTalki, they are offering a free lesson, 100 credits, if you sign up through our website. So go to inglespodcast.com/italki and sign up today, try it, see if you like it, and please tell us about your experience if you use an italki teacher. We'd love to hear how you're getting on, if you like it, what you don't like about it, what you like about it. Please give us your feedback if you meet an italki teacher online. And we'd like to say thank you to italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. So thank you for listening. We hope you found this lesson on trends useful. And if you've noticed a significant rise in your ability to understand English, we'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch by sending us a voice message through SpeakPipe, which you can find at speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. Or send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com. And please do tell your friends about us because we would like to see a further increase in the number of listeners.
Steep increase, a significant rise in subscriptions. We can't say goodbye to you this week without thanking our wonderful sponsors on Patreon, who are Lara, Sara Mamen, Juan Sara Jarabo, Corey Finneran, Jorge Raul, Rafael, Danielle, and Manuel. Thank you very much for being sponsors. And if you'd like to join them, you're welcome to go to patreon.com/inglespodcast and give us a small donation every month to try to get these transcriptions done for you, finally, for our lessons on our webpage. So, thank you very much for listening. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Oh, on next week's episode, drugs and addiction. If you're interested in drugs and addiction, join us next week for another episode. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.